Let's get legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. We welcome in Jonathan Merrill from the law offices of Jonathan Merrill. How are you doing, Jonathan?
I'm good, John. Thanks for having me.
Two Jonathans here, just sitting across from each other, names spelled the right way. It's nice to have another Jonathan in the room with me.
Great synergy already.
Exactly. ChicagoDivorce.com, by the way, as you listen to our conversation today, is the place to reach them. Boy, you guys are expanding, doing well, right?
Yeah, things are busy. We're growing. We're up to 16 lawyers, expanding our office space. So yeah, I can't complain. Things are good.
And while we're going to talk a lot about divorce today, it's family law. You cover a lot of different, the whole gambit of things, right?
Exactly. Most people think divorce when they think family law, but it's not just divorce. It's parentage issues, custody cases, prenups, postnups. So
a lot of things going on.
A lot of things.
Emotional things.
Very emotional things.
That must be tough, but also rewarding.
Yeah, I mean, that's what keeps me going, is that, you know, you're not just doing a business transaction, you're actually helping real people through real problems, and that makes it fulfilling.
For sure. 312-981-7200, by the way, Jonathan, can take some of your questions. I want to talk about what we call gray divorce. Now, I went a little gray at the age of 18, so I'm not disparaging anyone who's gray, and that's obviously what we call it, but that would be divorces over the age of 50, right? Or 65. There's two different distinctions.
Yeah, that area.
And what, while declining rates overall for divorces in the United States, what is happening to divorce rates of over 50 and over 65?
Those are actually increasing more, which, you know, people would kind of, you know, raise an eyebrow at that, but, you know, I think it's more of like a generational thing, mm-hmm. because a lot of the baby boomers who may have been divorced are on to marriage number two.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm seeing more of those people come in. It's kind of the second marriages that might be failing, in addition to those who remain married and, you know, just got divorced later in life. But yeah, there has been an uptick in the gray divorce, as they call it.
I think some of the stigma has gone away a little bit too, right? Even for people that have been married for 35 years, you know, if they're unhappy and they have plenty of life left to live, go live that life.
Exactly. Yeah, the stigma is definitely gone. I mean, you think, you know, 30, even 20 years ago, there was more of a stigma about getting divorced, and, you know, people were worried, how do I move on? And I just think society as a whole has changed, and outlook and the views on divorce have changed, and people are more empowered to, you know, get out of a bad situation and move on and enjoy the rest of their life.
Is there anything unique to know about divorce at a different age? I mean, obviously, it's a similar process, but maybe there's not, you know, the immediate kid custody situation going on. What's unique about that age?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, when you're dealing with older people getting divorced, you know, the kids are usually grown. Or if it's a second marriage, they probably didn't have children together. So those issues aren't prevalent in these kind of divorces. And a lot of these divorces, you're actually dealing with people who got a prenup before they got married.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a lot of the allocation of assets and issues of support might have been resolved by a document they entered into before.
Mm-hmm.
But the majority of the issues revolve around, you know, assets. And obviously, you know, the older you are, the more likely it is that you have substantial assets.
That's what I was going to say. When you get divorced at 25, you're splitting up not too much stuff, right?
Yeah, you're splitting up pennies. But
yeah,
obviously after, you know, people have gone through their career, or they're approaching retirement, definitely more substantial assets to resolve.
Yeah, exactly. What else? I mean, I know that it's a little bit more, let's say someone was the provider in the family and someone had raised the kids and maybe they really, maybe did some stuff on the side, but they may have to re-enter the workforce at a much older age. I mean, that's something to consider too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the idea behind maintenance, which is, you know, alimony. You know, people who, you know, didn't, you know, go through their career and stayed home to take care of kids while the other spouse went on and, you know, furthered their career, made a lot of money. That's why, you know, there's the idea of spousal support. So that person who gave up their career to maybe stay home, you know, is entitled to live a semblance of the same lifestyle they enjoyed during the marriage.
As we, and we can broaden this out really to any age, but talking about understanding finances, at what point in the consideration phase of getting a divorce, before or after talking to you, should people really start to analyze what their finances are, what their spouse's finances are, so they can make sure that that's all in order?
Yeah, I mean, that should be, look, if you know you're embarking on a divorce, knowing your finances is you know, a great idea. And that's easier said than done for some people. Obviously, you know, the traditional idea is that one spouse kind of took care of the finances, the other one, you know, maybe took care of the children. So when you get to a divorce, especially after a long marriage, one spouse might be in completely in the dark regarding the finances.
Mm-hmm.
So it's difficult for that person. And they put a lot of trust in their attorney, obviously, to try to ascertain, excuse me, what the parties have, you know, what kind of income the other spouse have. So, I mean, obviously every situation is different, but you often encounter a spouse who is completely in the dark when it comes to finances, and it's the job of the lawyer, obviously, to put the pieces together.
Jonathan Merrill, we're talking with right now. You can go to chicagodivorce.com, because I imagine that, you know, with your continuing team and you're got a lot of, I mean, you guys know how to dig into finances, right? Like, you have, that's something you do not want to skimp on from a lawyer perspective. You want a team that knows how to tackle this.
Yeah, I mean, that's at the heart of a good divorce lawyer, is mm-hmm. knowing, you know, where to look for money, you know, how to put together a balance sheet that details all the assets that the parties have, knowing the strategy for getting the best division of the assets. That's central to being a good divorce attorney.
How does debt get divided between two people who are splitting up? We talk about assets a lot, but obviously a lot of folks, I don't know, whether it's mortgages or debt that they have outstanding. How does that work in Illinois?
Well, debt's divided equitably. So just like assets are divided equitably in Illinois, debts are addressed the same way.
Which doesn't mean 50-50.
Does not mean 50-50. It could mean 50-50, but it could definitely vary from that, depending on what a court believes is fair. So again, debts are treated the same way. Just like you have to divide up the assets, you have to divide up the debts. You know, oftentimes attorneys will work with the parties to try to pay off the debt that they have with the assets, so the parties can kind of leave on a clean slate and no one's carrying the debt that was incurred during the marriage. Sometimes it's not possible. So debt gets addressed, you know, really the same way as assets. You have to figure it out.
I'm also trying to think of other circumstances. Let's say you're over 50 or at any age, but you're under 65, so you haven't reached that Medicare stage yet. Health insurance is another consideration people have to take into account, right?
Huge issue. Yeah. I mean, especially if, you know, someone needs health insurance or not at that Medicare age, and that's a big expense. And, mm-hmm. you know, they're not allowed to, once there is actually a period of a couple of years that you can remain on your spouse's policy.
Post-divorce,
but it's usually at a cost. And, you know, that's not going to last forever. So,
can you ask your former spouse, can you write that in, being like, he's got a, he or she, they covered my health insurance, I need them to continue to do so?
You can, yes. Well, by law, they have a right to stay on it. Who pays for it is a different story. Obviously, that figures into issues of how much support the spouse might be getting paid, or if that is a provision in the divorce decree on top of the spousal support. So yeah, that becomes a big issue, because health insurance can be expensive, and you know, they might have no other means to get it if they haven't worked for a while.
These rapid fire questions I'm asking you, is this often what you get from people that are about to enter this phase? Because I think a lot of people feel shame in being blind to how the process works. They shouldn't. That's what you're for.
I'm here for. And, you know, we answer questions like this every day. So
yeah.
We're used to it. You know, questions coming at us about a million different things, different issues. Everyone's story's different. So, we like to say we've heard it all, but there's always something we haven't heard.
You must like when you get a new little challenge, right? Come on, that's fun for a lawyer.
Of course, of course.
Yeah, so you got something unique. You go to Jonathan Merrill, make sure, because he's looking for a challenge. Merrill Family Law, ChicagoDivorce.com. I got all that right, Jonathan, right?
You got it.
We're going to take a quick break. More with Jonathan after this on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association on WGN. This is normally the David Hochberg Home Sweet Home Show, Home Sweet Home Chicago, and people often text in. Feel free to text in your foundation or any repairs you need. I'm going to ask my lawyers their advice. Yes, we had that one you're looking at. Someone had a fracture in their sink. I'm trying to find the original text message. What does it say there? What are they looking for, Jonathan?
I think I'm looking at a drain here. It says, could you suggest someone we could contact to treat a hairline crack in our Corian sink?
All right, so you're looking at the picture. What are you seeing there in that sink? You got any advice for them?
Wow, I have trouble changing light bulbs, so I'm probably the last person in the world to answer, and I'm not even sure I see a crack in it.
Right.
I would just say, just replace the sink.
Jonathan Merrill's just like throwing out. All right, so my advice to you, Rich, in Indian Head Park, Hochberg will be on at 2:15. Call into the show then when he's there. And all the way, also, by the way, why don't we get Mega Pros Joe to answer some lawyer questions later on, too?
Perfect.
We'll switch back and forth. We do have a lot of questions coming in about divorce. A little rapid fire here with you. In Illinois, is there a statute of limitations to collect unpaid child support?
There's not, but you're definitely better off doing it as soon as you can.
Does it get harder the further out?
It gets a little more difficult. You have a higher burden to reach. So there's technically not a statute of limitations, but it gets more difficult.
Is that something your office can handle?
Absolutely.
630 wants to know, what happens if your spouse has a credit card only in their name? They used it to get cash advances. Oh, no. That's never good. You're using your credit card to get cash advances, and here's the kicker, for a gambling habit.
Yeah.
Which is not good, but it happens to people. No judgment. I know that's a problem. So what if your spouse is dealing with that?
Definitely not a great thing to have going on. Of course, gambling problems lead to many divorces. And when people get divorced, if someone, you know, likes to gamble, oftentimes you'll see, you know, tons of ATM withdrawals or cash advances like this on a credit card. That falls under the realm of what's called dissipation.
It's okay.
Spending marital assets for a non-marital purpose subsequent to the party's marriage breaking down. So if people are married to a gambling addict and, you know, there's a breakdown in the marriage and, you know, the money's flying out through the credit card.
Meaning
or the
you're
going to
get less and less after the settlement, in theory.
It's going to hurt the person who's doing it.
Right.
So
how do you get a court order to freeze assets that you have together? Or
that can absolutely happen. I mean, they're called temporary restraining orders, which are often initiated, you know, during the pendency of a case if someone's moving money around, spending money out of control, gambling. So, I mean, we've had, you know, orders entered that prohibit people from gambling, and we're, you know, sending subpoenas and orders to casinos locally that
really
prevent the person from gambling. So yeah, it can get deep, and obviously that's, you know, often a cause for divorce. Like,
well, then hang on, that person should reach out to you ASAP, right?
Absolutely. Wow. I mean, it's, you know, it's not a good situation to be going through, and it's usually the tip of the iceberg if you're starting to see it now.
Yeah. 815 wants to know, and this may seem like an obvious answer to some people, but I know that, you know, divorce has changed over the generations. They want to know, please ask your guest if someone can get divorced even if their spouse wants to stay married.
Sure. It's a good question. I've been asked that question before. The answer is you can't be forced to stay married to somebody. So if one person wants to get divorced, the other spouse is, you know, wants to stay together, unfortunately, the divorce is ultimately going to happen.
Right.
Now, the person who doesn't want it can take steps to delay it, but inevitably they're going to get divorced and the marriage will be dissolved.
I don't know if this is just anecdotal to people I know, and maybe we talked about that stigma going down, and people are able to just more freely talk about it within a marriage when it's breaking down. I'm hearing from a lot of folks that are, you know, amicable with the person they're breaking up with. I'm sure you've seen that a lot of times. And they're, you know, going to split things. They're okay with kind of taking it out of court. I forget what it's called, where they're coming to an agreement. But then they still reach out to a lawyer, right, to help navigate that. Mediation, what is that called?
Yeah. Well, mediation's one way to resolve a case. And the trend has been lately to, you know, not just go through mediation, but have an attorney assisting each party as they go through mediation. So you've got the neutral mediator, and you also have the parties who each have an attorney advising them throughout the mediation process. So, you know, lawyers are needed, and I'm not just saying this because I'm a divorce lawyer, but you want to do this right. And especially for, you know, people who have children or assets, you know, this is a one-time deal. So you want to make sure the papers are drafted properly, each party's being properly advised and counseled throughout the case. Obviously, you want to make sure issues regarding the children are resolved properly. So, you know, most people don't have a clue how to get divorced. That's why they go to an attorney. A
lot of great questions coming in. How do you handle, we only got about 30 seconds for this answer, how do you handle future educational expenses for the children in a divorce situation?
Sure. Well, there's a provision in the Illinois Dissolution of Marriage Act that addresses payment of college education for children. And most times, you know, that issue of college expenses will be addressed in a divorce decree by basically saying, let's wait and see when the kids go to college. And then if the parties can't resolve how to pay for college, the court can step in and determine based on the party's financial circumstances who should contribute what.
Yeah. The answer is to go to ChicagoDivorce.com. That leads you to the law offices of Jonathan Merrill. Jonathan, we're out of time, but great questions, and we hope to see you again soon, all right?
Thanks for having me, John. Always a pleasure.
Absolutely. All right, news next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.